Saturday, May the 31st, 2014. I am Steve Gerwick, the webmaster of www.gerweck.net, Gerwick.net, along with Frank D, and another edition of the Gerwick Report podcast, with a podcast that tells it like it is. And as always, we got a plethora of topics to discuss. We have a payback weekend where we'll talk about the pay-per-view. We're going to talk about the Dead brand and other various topics. And as always, and welcome back my tag team partner, Frank D.
Hey, Steve, what's going on, man?
What is the good word this weekend? Anything?
The good word is that we have a pay-per-view coming up tomorrow night, our special event, whatever you want to call it, and nobody's talking about it. So,
isn't that something?
That's something. But before we start off, man, I want to give a special shout-out to the Wrestling Jackal, who has been really promoting his ass off for the Gerwick Report podcast. And I just want to thank you out there, man, and keep up the good work. I really appreciate it. We both appreciate it.
Yeah, putting us over like Rover out there. Yeah. He's plugging us to, what, Snoop Dogg and Bobby Lashley. We appreciate the positive vibes out there,
exactly.
For sure.
Although Bobby Lashley probably, you know, will listen to the podcast and be like, man, they're talking about my brand, the Dead brand.
Well, don't worry. We're going to talk about the Dead brand for sure.
Oh, yeah.
But I don't know, Frank. Let's start with maybe the stale brand, the dull brand, whatever you want to, adjective you want to use currently with WWE, because it's hard to believe, but there's actually a pay-per-view as we're doing this tomorrow night on WWE Network, or I guess they're going to start calling these, you know, special attractions. We talked about a little bit on the last podcast, some of the matches. The card is, I guess, pretty well set, although they always could have one bonus match or something added to the show. But in essence, we're going to see the No Holds Barred 6-man elimination tag match to main event Payback, Evolution, and The Shield. We have John Cena against Bray Wyatt. RVD will challenge for the IC Championship against Wade. Call me Bad News Barrett. We have Sheamus versus Cesaro. Paige against Alicia Fox. And Big E against Rusev in a singles match. You were saying right off the bat, Frank, not a lot of buzz for this pay-per-view. And look at this card. It's really hard for anybody to really get excited for this lineup.
Yeah, you know what? I don't know what to say about it. It's just like, you know, we talked about it several times since they launched the network and all the pay-per-views. It kind of moved to the network. Even if the network wasn't in existence and these pay-per-views were going for $60, whatever it is, you actually expect me to pay $60 for this crap that they're putting out there? I mean, it's just there's no buzz because nobody cares. You know, it's not the simple fact that it's not the superstars that people don't care about. It's the fact that the WWE is just stale. It's been stale for years. It is very hard to get behind this when you have a guy. Pretty much, you know, you have a 6-man tag match here. That is a match that we just saw the previous month. We have already seen Bray Wyatt versus John Cena last month, and we saw that match the month before at WrestleMania. So it's very, very hard not to get excited about anything on this, you know, on this show. I mean, everything sucks. You know, I'm not digging anything here.
No, I'm not either. And as you said, a lot of rematches from Extreme Rules, and Extreme Rules didn't blow us away. And what we usually typically do at Gerwick.net after a pay-per-view is do a poll of, you know, grading the pay-per-view and then doing the best matches. I really think, even though, you know, it's on the network and a lot of people will see it because it's on the network, I think a valid question will be, you know, did you see this show? Are you going to go out of your way Sunday night to watch this show? Because even though it's part of your subscription and, you know, a lot of people have the network now and it's on there, but, you know, I think a valid question is, even though you have the network, is it a slam dunk you're going to watch the show? And not only that, Frank, you can watch the replay. I believe within 24 hours it's archived in the pay-per-view section, so you don't have to go out of your way to watch it live. You could always basically do what you do, you know, DVR Raw and buzz through it and watch the highlights of the show. So I think a valid question will be, if you're a subscriber out there, are you going to go out of your way to check out Payback, or, you know, on Sunday night comes, are you going to just watch something else? What's going on, Frank? The NBA playoffs or something going on? Maybe people will be checking that out.
Yeah, people will be doing other things. I mean, it's, you know, in my area here in Antelope Valley, it's high as hell outside. So So a lot of people don't want to be in the house. A lot of people want to go to the beach. They want to go down to, you know, L.A. They want to go to Universal Studios. They want to go to Six Flags Magic Mountain or something like that. You know, people want to do something. People are not just going to be sitting in the house anymore watching wrestling on Sunday night, especially when you have this amount of talent that's on the pay-per-view that are not over at all. You know what I mean? And the thing that also comes to mind with this pay-per-view is that, are there going to be really any kind of shocks or surprises? That's one of the things that WWE does with these surveys. Every time there's a pay-per-view, they always send me a survey. And I'm pretty sure they send a lot of other people who are signed up. And they ask you, were the storylines right going into the show? Was the caliber of talent okay? Was there enough surprises on the show? Or were there no surprises? They ask you these questions because they want to know what you think. And the thing I'm thinking about is that, okay, are we really expecting anything big to happen at Payback tomorrow night? Probably not. There are no World Championship matches on the show, but in my opinion, when you have a B show like this, you don't need the World Heavyweight Championship. I remember back in the day, Steve, you used to be able to have the Intercontinental Championship main event the Madison Square Garden show, or main event the Boston Garden, you know what I mean? It was a different time back there where the belts actually meant something. And you mentioned earlier there about people not watching it live. Yeah, I mean, on the network, the pay-per-views are usually archived. From what I've seen on my own time, they're usually archived within 10 or 20 minutes of the actual airing. So it's really no emphasis for me to sit there if I don't want to sit there. It's no emphasis on me to sit there at all and watch it live if I don't want to. Because it's going to be there. And it really, I mean, honestly, you know, this goes into this right here too. They have the WrestleMania 30 DVD that they've, you know, been talking about and advertising and whatever. And I'm like, why am I going to order the DVD of WrestleMania 30 when I can go back and watch the event and watch the Hall of Fame ceremony in its entirety? That's the only thing they're offering on there. So I don't know.
Yeah, I'm with you because I remember last month I didn't watch Extreme Rules live because of a family emergency. And knowing the results and knowing exactly what happened, it was kind of hard for me to go back and watch it because one of the beauties of a pay-per-view is it's live.
Right.
And once you know the results and you know who wins the matches and if there were any surprises, I mean, that's one of the elements of wrestling that you really kind of miss is the element of surprise. Really have, and you're talking about a survey where they're asking, was there any surprises? I mean, what was the last major surprise we've seen on a pay-per-view or on even Raw, really? I mean, you're like, whoa, I mean, the old, you know, Lex Luger showing up kind of deal or something to that effect where it's like, oh, or Kane showing up at a pay-per-view to rip the cage door off. I mean, what was the last major surprise you can remember on a pay-per-view? It's been a long time.
Yeah, I can't think of any. I mean,
I can't really think of any either. So, I mean, they're asking you, you know, were there any surprises? Like, when has there been a major surprise on the show? Let me speak to this because I know some people have said, you know, in defense of WWE and this pay-per-view is, well, you know, Daniel Bryan is hurt, so they're not going to defend the championship. Well, they could have stripped Daniel Bryan of the championship. They could have done what, you know, we were talking about in one podcast of having, a tournament and then the final two guys in the tournament, you know, wrestle for the vacant championship on the pay-per-view. I like that idea better than anything they've, I guess, thought of between – you know, Daniel Bryan's surgery and now. And, you know, again, we talked about this previously on a different podcast. I am old school. I really believe the world championship should be defended on even a B pay-per-view. I mean, they've eliminated a couple pay-per-views, so I would think every month the world heavyweight championship. I mean, there's times where you could potentially say the world heavyweight championship is not defended because maybe the world heavyweight champion and another guy is teaming up to take on somebody else, something, or a six-man tag or something of that nature. But if they had Daniel Bryan healthy for this show, Frank, what would they have given us? They would have gave us Daniel Bryan versus Kane 2. That wouldn't have helped the show at all.
No.
So this argument of, well, you know, the champion's not available, I mean, they had other scenarios they could have came up with. And again, if Daniel Bryan would have been healthy, again, Daniel Bryan versus Kane 2 would not have saved the show. So this is just poor booking. This is why it's stale. This is why it's boring. These matches don't mean anything to me. The U.S. Championship don't mean nothing. The IC Championship doesn't mean nothing. I mean, we're talking offline about, you know, they nixed an idea for Cesaro to get the IC Championship. Why? Because IC Championship is so prestigious right now and they don't think he's ready for it? I mean, it's just, the titles are jokes. A lot of these storylines are jokes. And I mean, that's what you get, Frank. Payback is nothing special. And, you know, if I see it live, that's great. And if I don't, I'm not going to lose any sleep over it at all. I'm not excited at all for this show.
Right. There, I mean, the plan was for Daniel Bryan to wrestle Kane in a Buried Alive match, which I believe they would have ended their feud at that point, and then we would have seen the possibility of Kane going off to do his movie. But right now, it's just so stale and so lackluster. I don't even want to see the championship even defended until they find Daniel Bryan a better opponent. Just not feeling it at all. I think that, you know, so far since Bryan's had the belt, he's been booked pretty poorly, in my opinion. If all you got for the guy, I mean, this whole run since last summer, and we're going up into, you know, a year since this whole authority storyline happened, if all you had for him post-championship was Kane, that's pretty poor booking, like you just said. You had nothing else but Kane. And I'm just not really a Kane. I'm not digging Kane. I mean, they call him the Demon Kane or whatever, and I'm just not digging it, man. It's just, I'm not feeling it whatsoever. And like you said, the U.S. Championship doesn't mean anything. The Intercontinental Championship doesn't mean anything. And personally, my own observation, we brought up Cesaro a minute ago. You know, my own opinion, I think that ever since Cesaro has been aligned with Paul Heyman, I think that it's really kind of killed a lot of his momentum. I think Cesaro was going on to be probably one of the top baby faces in the company, and putting him with Heyman has really, like, killed that. I mean, people don't know what to think about Cesaro right now. They don't know whether to think he's a heel or whether he's a baby face. They don't really know what to think and how to respond when he comes out there. And then on top of that, see, his music is god-awful, man. Every time I hear the sirens go off, I mean, there's only one guy, and I'm old school, there's only one guy I think about, and that's Curry Saturn. And Curry Saturn's not coming through that curtain when those sirens come off. The theme song is horrible, and it's holding them back, in my opinion, too.
And then another thing I was thinking of, we were talking about the championships. Where's the Usos?
Right.
They can't get they can't defend their championships on this show. Yeah, we got to see. I mean, I'd rather see the Usos defend the championship and no knock against the women, but I'd rather see the Usos defend their tag team championship than seeing Paige versus Alicia Fox.
Well, there's only one person out of that match that I would want to see in the first place. I'm talking about the women's match, and that's Alicia Fox. I'm just not really into Paige. I'm not. The whole screaming deal she does. What are you? Are you Daphne from WCW or something? You know, I'm not liking it. Alicia Fox, that's a different story. Alicia Fox has been around there for a long time. She's finally getting that push. So they want to do something with her. That's cool. I like that. And she actually is one of the few out there that can actually go in the ring and wrestle. I just don't think that – I don't think Paige is that good. I think Paige is overrated.
You know, we were just talking about Cesaro and throw in Bad News Barrett, Dolph Ziggler, Damian Sandow, something we've been talking about. We haven't really done a topic discussion here on the podcast, but the WWE mid-carders in general – some of them have, you know, a lot of potential. I mean, Dolph Ziggler, a couple of years ago, was super hot. They gave him the world championship. They went nowhere with it. I thought Damian Sandow has been hot, you know, kind of on the verge of stepping the ladder a little bit. He always gets pushed down. In fact, I don't know, Frank, he's basically a jobber nowadays.
Yeah.
And, you know, we've seen with Cesaro, we've seen with Bad News Barrett. I mean, he's got the IC championship, but doesn't mean anything. Just in general, the flux of mid card talent, that you just, it's like they get somebody hot, then they lose interest in them, and then they don't mean anything. It's just the lack of planning and the creativity right now with that mid card talent is alarming.
Yeah, it is. Like you just said right there, Dolph Ziggler. Dolph Ziggler is one of the greatest bump takers in the business right now. One of the greatest, you know, all around workers, and guy can sell his ass off. And he was hot. You know, I remember last year when he came out there after WrestleMania and he got the world championship from Del Rio, and the place went crazy when that happened. Subsequently, he got hurt and his push stopped. And then, you know, he said some comments about Randy Orton last summer. And ever since then, he's been booked like crap. And, you know, the guy, the guy says a lot of things. The guy runs his mouth, but the guy runs his mouth, he's telling the truth when he's doing it. You know, and I don't understand if you're a company that's all about making money, and you can obviously make money with Dolph Ziggler, why wouldn't you take advantage of that? That to me is just, you know, it's just like at the WWE, they just live in their own bubble or something. It's like they don't realize the importance of making new stars. I mean, have you not learned from the mistakes of WCW? How WCW didn't make any new stars, and then at the end they tried to, and when they were trying to at the end, nobody cared. Same thing with Dolph Ziggler. Same thing with Sandow. Same thing with Wade Barrett. I mean, my God, Wade Barrett, you know, is just now starting to do something when he was buried at SummerSlam 2010 during the whole Nexus debacle with John Cena. I mean, personally, you know, Sandow had that match with Cena, in which I believe he cashed in that Money in the Bank, and it did nothing for him. I mean, in today's market, and I know John Cena is the franchise, he's the face of the company, but is being in the ring with John Cena is it a help to you or is it a detriment? Because you're not going to get over. I mean, look at Cena.
And then, too, Frank, we were talking offline as well. I was thinking back to the late 80s, the early 90s, the vignettes of when Razor Ramon would come in or Kurt Hennig was coming in as Mr. Perfect. They would bring in guys who were established in other companies and other territories, and they were just on the verge of coming in and being a huge star. And now you have Bo Dallas and Adam Rose, and we've seen other guys they've given push to that have gone nowhere. It's just the nature of the business, Frank. I know there's the territories are gone and the wars are over. You don't have the huge territories. You don't have world class anymore to raid stars from. You don't have AWA. You don't have WCW, ECW. And you're bringing in guys who, you know, a lot of them only been training for a year, year and a half, 2 years. You know, some of them were on the independent circuit maybe a year, 2 years, and they send them down to Florida to learn the WWE style. And they give them a gimmick and they say, you know, be a star. And it's very tough to right now. And it's a tough way to create new stars. And this is, you know, we've talked about this before. I mean, they've had opportunities where they could have signed some TNA talent to at least freshen up the roster. Cause we've talked about how depleted the roster is right now. It's just this mentality, Frank, of go to the performance center and make the new stars. And, you know, a lot of these new stars just aren't heating things up right now in WWE.
No, they're not. And the TNA guys that they could have had, you know, years ago, they don't mean anything now. So no. I don't know what WWE's plans are. Like, you know, seriously, what they want to do as far as a lot of these main card guys they have there. I mean, there was a rumor going around, Steve, you know, a few weeks ago about them, you know, possibly bringing back the Nation of Domination. And I got to thinking about that. You know, you and I were talking offline, and it could be a bunch of people in this faction that they're not doing anything with currently. I mean, you can put a Kofi Kingston in there, and, you know, Kofi can be turned into a heel. I've always had an idea that Kofi could be a heel and just turn the volume way high up on a guy. Another guy was Titus O'Neil, you could put in that group. Maybe a Biggie Langston could be in that group as well. You know, and you talk about a guy who could be the mouthpiece for this faction, who they're not doing anything with, who's sitting on the sidelines. Why not bring back Theodore Long, Teddy Long, as the manager of this new Nation of Domination, and all the guys in the Nation? It doesn't have, they don't you know, they don't have to be black necessarily. You can bring a bunch. You can put a Sandow in that group or something like that. You know, just basically the Nation doesn't have to be built off of. Really off of racism. It can be built off. We're sick and tired of being job. You know what I'm saying? We're sick and tired of not getting to have an opportunity. And it's time for us to take our opportunity. You can build it off of that. It doesn't have to necessarily be off of race. You know what I'm saying?
How about bringing back Shelton Benjamin? Would you like him in your group?
You know what? I heard Shelton Benjamin's a freak, so I'm not really now.
But I like to premise the idea of, you know, we've been held back. Give us a push. And right. I like the idea of Teddy Long, because I get questions about him all the time. You know, where's Teddy Long? And it's like, well, he's still with the company. They're just not doing anything with him.
Right. I mean, why is Vicky Guerrero on my TV? you know, on SmackDown. Nothing against her, but it's like, how many times has she been SmackDown general manager? Maybe, you know, they're going to bring back Thea Long or somebody in that role, because last Monday, they just, you know, storyline-wise, fired Brad Maddox as a general manager. And they don't really need a general manager. The general manager angle is so wore out anyways, because you got Triple H Stephanie on there, so why do you need a general manager?
They fired Brad Maddox. Oh man.
Yeah, they chokeslammed Bischoff Jr. Yeah, they had Kane come out there and chokeslam Bischoff Jr. into the mat. And said that he did the classic, "You're fired" line. Said that he can fire me anytime and bring me back for a bit.
And I know those that'll probably defend WWE and say, you know, this is cool, this is great, and then I don't know, Frank, look at the ratings.
Right.
The numbers, man, they're going down.
Right.
And then we gotta say this, Frank. I didn't go back and specifically look at all the back numbers, but it was Memorial Day, Frank.
Right.
2.6, right?
Right.
Well, I bet if I go back and look at 1998, 1999, some of those years, and I look at Memorial Day, I bet I'm not going to see 2.6.
Hey, man, you know what? I remember back in the day. I remember, and a lot of people out there, do you people out there remember Memorial Day, 1996? A certain guy coming into an arena and coming over the barricade and in the ring and said, "You want a war? We got one."
A bad guy.
Yeah. "You want a war? You're going to get one," and all that. And, you know, hey, what the hell is Razor Ramon doing on Nitro?
Right.
Now, that was Memorial Day. But everybody was talking about it. Everybody was talking about it. And it doesn't matter what holiday it is. It doesn't matter. If your product is good, if your storylines are, you know, must-see TV, if you have a must-see attraction, it doesn't matter what holiday it is. It doesn't matter what's going on. I mean, you had wrestling back in the day was beating the NFL. So don't give me excuses like the dead brand. Come on. Stale brand.
I'm tired of this, you know, there's so many more shows to watch, there's more competition, it was Memorial Day weekend, blah, blah, blah. Frank, just give me a product worth watching.
Exactly.
I mean, if WWE had a hot product, they wouldn't be saying it was Memorial Day weekend. It would say, this is a must-see show.
Exactly.
I mean, you can easily, as I said this before, you could easily skip 6 to 8 weeks of Raw, watch the next episode, and get caught up within an instant. And these are three-hour shows.
Right.
You don't miss nothing by missing Raw. You don't miss nothing by missing SmackDown.
No.
And it's week after. I mean, the buzz this week, Frank, what was the buzz from WWE this week? NXT.
Right.
You got 3 hours of Raw and you got 2 hours of SmackDown. And what is everybody talking about in WWE? NXT show on the network.
Right. And
that was the buzz this week.
Yeah. And then I read somewhere where they said, yeah, well, they're going to probably be looking to deliver a good show on Sunday because of the rave reviews they got for NXT on Thursday. I can't comment about that because I didn't watch NXT. So I can't comment if it was a good show or if it wasn't a good show. I know they got some fine hands down there, but I can't really comment on that. Only thing I can comment on is what I'm going to see, and I'm going to, you know, probably end up watching Payback, start my subscription, and to see what it is. And personally, I think that's a bad name for a pay-per-view. It's stupid. What do you do? You're paying back the audience, or what are you doing? I don't get it.
They're paying back. Yeah, they're paying us back by giving us a $10 pay per view, I guess.
Right.
Rather than charging you $50 or $60 or whatever they are nowadays. So, I don't know. But while we're on the topic of WWE, you saw a blog by a former WWE writer, TNA writer, WCW writer, Mr. Russo, who's always a heat magnet when it comes to wrestling fans. Some people really like him, and some people love to point out all the dysfunctional characters and odd storylines that he created. But he did have an interesting blog this week, where he really was, you know, talking about how WWE is really trying to cater both to children and to adults, and it's tough to cater to two groups because really they just don't mix very well.
No, you have a situation right now, like you said, where, you know, they'll go out there and they'll talk about all the stuff they'll do for the Make-A-Wish Foundation, and they'll go out there and have little El Torito running around there with his tail off of him, which is the dumbest thing I've ever seen in my life. They'll have Hornswoggle out there, and they'll have all these little characters really to cater to children. And then you'll have John Cena come out there and say Payback is a bitch. you know? And it's like, how do you do that? Like, and that's what Russo is basically saying. That's the reason why the ratings are how they are. Because you can't cater to two. Either you're going to cater to the adults or you're going to cater to the children. And right now, you should be catering to the adults. That's where the demographic is at. A lot of the shows, the demographic shows are you know, they're demographically looking at the adults here. I think WWE's, I forgot what he said there, what their skew is on the numbers, but basically, who's the people out there that are going to buy your product? I don't really know many children that have hundreds of dollars in their pocket that's going to buy merchandise from WWE. I don't really know any children that are going to subscribe to the network. You need to be catering to the adults. You need to be catering to the people who have money, okay? Not the children who are just going to be out there, let's go Cena. Right? It's cool if you got Cena out there with the t-shirts on and the little kiddies are buying his merchandise, but hey, when it comes down to it, who's going to buy those replica championship belts? Who's going to buy the network? Who's going to buy the pay-per-views? Who's going to buy tickets to come to the show? Who's doing all this stuff? It's the adults, not the kids. And I think because of advertising, WWE misses it. I mean, here's the deal. They you know, this whole change and shift in the product started when Linda McMahon was running for Senate. And that's when they really changed their whole outlook on everything. We have to be more positive. We have to do this. And we have to be all about the children. Think of the children. Well, we've thought about the children long enough, and what it's come down to is watered-down crap. It's time to get some attitude. I don't understand what the big why everybody is so sensitive now. Anyways, I remember back in the day when I was 14, I went to a show in Anaheim at the Arrowhead Pond, and I was with my mom, and my mom couldn't believe that there was a kid there who was no older than probably 9 years old, but he had a shirt on that said "Other Side Jackass." You know, it was the old Stone Cold Steve Austin T-shirt, and right. It's like that's the attitude. I mean, are WWE that close-minded to think that kids don't go to school and kids are not cussing and using profanity, and they're not fighting? If you really believe that, you need to go to YouTube and look up fights and look who's known how to fight in school, look who's known how to curse. You'll see there's a lot of kids doing that. So I don't know where this attitude comes in that all the kids are innocent. There might be some that are innocent, but the majority of them are not. And I see that for myself. I see that every time I go to Walmart over in Lancaster. Yeah, just ghetto, put it like that.
Yeah, it was a pretty interesting blog, if you want to check that out. We did, you know, post it at Gerwick.net.
Yeah, but he charges for it.
Oh, he charges us?
I believe he's charging for it, man. Vince Russo? Yeah, Vince Russo's words of
the
wisdom.
The holy man?
Yeah, their words of wisdom, you're getting charged for it, man. That's what I understand. I haven't gone to it. That's the thing about us here on the podcast. I can't ever remember, as long as I've known Steve, never could remember him coming out saying, hey, you, if you enjoy the website works, I got a PayPal deal on the side here or something like that, or where you can make a payment or make a donation, you give us a tip or something like that. I've never seen Steve do that. Not one time. You know? So why are you charging for a blog?
No, I mean, we've done the website for free. We did the hotline for free. We do this podcast for free. You know, all we ask is you listen. And if you like what you're listening to, you enjoy Gerwick.net, you know, tell a friend. Spread the word. But, boy, if he's charging for a blog, that the new thing now is, that's a new pay-per-view, right?
Right.
You actually paid to view his blog? That's something different altogether. But on another topic, another interesting interview, and not for the same reasons, a former TNA, yeah, I'll say it, TNA World Heavyweight Champion, had a few choice words for, I guess, people like you and me, Frank, journalists out there that cover wrestling, fans that are negative right now on the dead brand. In fact, I think we've been called parasites.
Right. Magnus does this interview where Magnus went after everybody, you know, the sheets in general, you know, Gerwick.net, you know, PW Insider, Meltzer, you know, Alvarez, everybody. He called us, you know, everybody who's a smart to the business, they're all parasites. And pretty much the two companies being the dead brand and the whip, WWE, he says that they need to prevent people from talking to the sheets. And my thing about that is this. Magnus we're the only ones talking about your stupid company to begin with. Variety is not talking about you. Hollywood Reporter are not talking about you. Yahoo is not talking about you. We're the only ones up here talking about the bed brand. Us. Gerwig.net, Gerwig Report podcast. We're the ones who come out here and we talk about you every single week. We give you more publicity than you need. Okay? And you guys need a lot. I mean, you come out here and call somebody parasites and all that. Here's the deal. You're the one who's a parasite, man. You're the one who was, you know, tag teaming back in the day with Douglas Williams. And Douglas Williams was carrying a tag team, the British Invasion. Okay? You're the one who was a world heavyweight champion, one of the lowest rated world heavyweight champions in company history. Could never win a match cleanly. And you're going to come out here and talk about, you know, myself and Steve and the rest of the guys who read the sheets and who are, you know, doing the sheets, you want to call us parasites? I'd say, screw you, Magnus. I'd say, I want to see where you're at in 4 months, kid. When you're out of a job, when a dead brand finally goes under. That's what I want to see. Or you're up here calling somebody a parasite. If I'm a parasite, you're a jabron. Bottom line.
This is why TNA is a dead brand. You have a former world champion shooting on us.
Right.
Remember those comments by Dixie Carter on Twitter?
Yeah.
Aimed at fans?
Why
and
are
then
you
she
shooting
deletes
on the, why are you shooting on the fans? What you need to be doing, Magnus, is shooting on your damn creative team. Why do we suck? Why is it that I'm so frustrated that I'm pulling a Kurt Angle and talking crap? Why am I doing that? You're up here. The bottom line is why Magnus is even doing this is because Magnus is trying to find a scapegoat to blame for the dead brand's problems. The dead brand's problems is you got your money mark Dixie Carter down there who doesn't know nothing about the business. Okay? Nothing whatsoever. Came into the business, ran the people who knew about it out of town, i.e. Jeff Jarrett. Okay? And that's the bottom line there. And Jeff Jarrett was the founder of this organization and he left. That I show you there's something really wrong in that situation right there. You know, there's something really wrong in Nashville. If he decides to leave, has a stake in TNA, but he's going to start up his own company, that I'll show you right there where that brand is headed, the damn brand. I mean, the bottom line is that they have really taken a lot of these wrestlers that they have down there, Steve, like, you know, James Storm and Bobby Roode and all these guys, Samoa Joe, you know, AJ Styles. How many matches have these guys done in TNA? I'm sorry, I was going to actually talk about their name, the dead brand. How many pay-per-views have a dead brand put on? How many matches have these guys put on in the dead brand from the Asylum all the way to the Impact Zone that nobody has seen? How many years have their careers been wasted down there on the dead brand and people don't even know who they are? And they've been doing it as long as John Cena has been doing it in the WWE? That's really sad. You know, because injuries pile up, you have no worth at all. If you had worth, if WWE thought you were anything, they would pick you up. But you have this stigmatitis on you, this stigma of being a part of the dead brand. You'll never be able to wash out because as long as you're in the business, they're always going to say you are a dead brand guy.
We got to note the ticket sales in New York, Frank, because this is really funny. They're doing 3 shows at the Manhattan Center, New York City. So they put the tickets on sale, and as usual for wrestling shows, the front row seats sell out right away. Yet, there are still front row seats available for the New York City TV tapings, and then they put out a poster, you know, backed by popular demand, 3 big shows in New York in August. And I don't know, Frank, where is the popular demand? We're hearing they're actually spending a little bit of money promoting, which is good, which... Isn't that funny, a promoter or a promotion promoting their shows? That's a novel idea. But they have the audacity to say, you know, backed by popular demand when they can't even sell out the first 3 shows in New York? I mean, this is why nobody takes your company seriously.
Well, backed by popular demand, demand by who? Demand by who? If you're, like you just said, if you're not even selling out the first 3 shows you have there, and then you say, oh, backed by popular demand – they don't get it. And then on top of that, here's the deal. Dead brand. Where did you get money from to pay for advertising? I was under the impression that you guys had no money. I mean, if you had money, how come you didn't re-sign AJ Styles? How come we didn't re-sign Kazarian and Daniels, the Bad Influence? These guys are off in Ring of Honor now. They're going to be making their debut on pay-per-view with Ring of Honor. You know, Ring of Honor has a lot of momentum going for them right now. They have a deal with New Japan. They have all this stuff going on. You know, and it kind of reminds me, because back in the day, Steve, WCW had a similar deal with New Japan, if you remember, where they would work with New Japan Pro Wrestling. They would bring in talent and do split shows. And then sometimes WCW would go over to the Orient and do shows. Remember that?
I do, yes.
Yeah, so it's kind of like they're doing the same deal here. And I'm liking it. I think Ring of Honor has a lot of momentum going with it right now. TNA has none. I mean, Ring of Honor is going to go to the stadium that TNA used to run for their baseball. Well, ROH is going to go there. And I hope ROH gets it. And, you know, the thing about it, too, is that the Dead brand is going into the Manhattan Center, Hammerside Ballroom, where a lot of, you know, ECW shows have been held there back in the day. WWE's ECW ran there. Ring of Honor's run. I mean, pretty much what I'm saying is you're coming into Vince country. You're coming into Vince's territory. And you're coming into Vince's territory with probably the weakest roster you've ever had in the entire run of the company. There are no standouts, no superstars on there at all. You don't have Kurt Angle on there. You don't have an AJ Styles. You don't have, you know, a special appearance by Sting. You don't have anything of value on the chart. You have Eric Young. Nothing against Eric Young, but Eric Young is not exactly a household name. Okay? So you have this situation going on here where you're trying to run some tapings there in New York. Bottom line, in my opinion, is the Dead brand is going to end up giving out those tickets because somebody's going to buy them. Ring of Honor is more accepted in New York and Hammerstein Ballroom. And I believe that unlike TNA Dead Brand, I believe ROH actually runs the Hammerstein Ballroom.
Yes, they do. Yeah, they run iPay-per-views there a lot.
Right. So why couldn't the Dead Brand get the Hammerstein Ballroom? They had to go upstairs to the Manhattan Center, the Toys of Film Raw.
Well, you were saying that they're not going to have Sting, but I guess they could have Sting. He's not going to sign with the Whip.
I guess they could, you know. And like I said before, I'll say it again. In my opinion, Sting's a coward. Sting doesn't sign that contract because Sting is really showing me that obviously he doesn't feel he can do it. And to me, a coward is a person who just doesn't try. You know what I mean? There should be no such word as I can't do it. You go and do it. He hasn't done it. I don't understand it. You've had a deal on the table since WrestleMania. That was back in April. We're in June now. You still haven't come to in the terms. You still haven't signed the contract. I don't understand it.
You know, I was kidding Frank about, you know, TNA on Spike, and there's a lot of worry right now from the talent in terms of we don't know what's happening with the companies. You said they're tight on money and we don't know what their contractual situation is going to be with Spike coming this fall. And I just kind of made a half-witted joke with Frank. I said, well, maybe TNA can go on Netflix.
Yeah.
You know, go on one of those popular online demand, video on demand services. Go on Hulu. Remember we had, NXT was on Hulu. You know, make yourself visible. I mean, because those sites are always looking for content. I mean, we have a lot of WWE content still on Netflix, and never anything like as far as, well, these on-demand services like to have Impact Wrestling. Or, heck, Frank, I would like to see some of those old classic, those two-hour Wednesday night pay-per-views on an on-demand service like that. But I guess we'll have to wait till Vince owns a library, and then you could have the flashback TNA pay-per-views on there.
Well, you know what? It's kind of funny because I believe TNA actually has their own on-demand service. I believe they do. I think it's TNA 24/7 or something like that, online or something like that, but it's only online. Now, that's not a bad idea you got there about, you know, the Dead brand actually, you know, making a deal with Netflix for content, and they can actually get paid that way too. You know, they can. I mean, I'm pretty sure there's people out there, the old TNA fans out there that they've alienated over the years that would love to watch some of those old Wednesday night shows. I'm gonna be honest with you. I thought during that period of time, they were putting on a good product. The old wins in that pay-per-view, the NWA, TNA era. I thought they were putting on a lot of good stuff. I thought that's when the company were. I'm like, okay, you know, we have a number two now. We have an alternative to that of what the WWF at the time was putting out there. And, you know, just looking at where it's at right now, and a lot of people that were on those first shows not even there anymore, sad.
Yeah, it is sad. And you were alluding to, you know, Jeff Jarrett, one of the original owners, founders of TNA, still owns a stake in TNA, and it's so bad that he wants to form another wrestling group, Global Force Wrestling, and you have talent reportedly reaching out to Jeff Jarrett and Ring of Honor. And as you were mentioning to me, well, Jeff Jarrett don't even have television yet. That shows you how bad things are in TNA now, that people reach out to Jeff Jarrett. Jeff Jarrett has not announced a television deal, which, I don't know, Frank, maybe that means more and more that Jeff Jarrett's going to land on Spike TV. I don't know. It's a possibility.
It's a possibility. I mean, he does own a stake in TNA, as you said. So I'm pretty sure he's privy to what's going on there as far as their TV deal. And if you want to look at it like this, you know, you said in previous podcasts a few months ago when Jeff Jarrett was taking pictures with some of the talent in TNA. Well, I mean, Jeff Jarrett still owns, I guess he owns a minority stake in the TNA, a minority share of TNA stock.
Right.
Something like that. Well, I guess some of those talents still work for Jeff Jarrett, right?
Technically, if you want to look at it that way.
Yeah. So I guess, you know, what he was doing at the time when he was taking pictures of them, taking pictures with them, and then putting it on his Global Force Wrestling company website, I don't really think it was a bad idea. It's, a lot of these people probably didn't end up working for him anyways. And I think maybe the biggest problem that's going on right now in the organization, I think that Jeff realized, is I got to get away from Dixie Carter. I got to get away from Dixie Carter. I got to get away from the Carter family because they know nothing about the business. I mean, it looks to me that she, Dixie, and then her mother were pretty much running the company. You didn't hear anything from Jeff Jarrett. So.
And then, yeah, then on top of that, you know, Dixie Carter loses the purse strings to Janice Carter.
Right.
Her mother.
Yeah.
So
Jeff is kind of like, okay, money is getting tied up here. So the hell with it. And I'm going to go start my own thing. But Jeff Jarrett has this preconceived notion of a boom period.
Yeah, the boom period. Yeah, that's going to happen.
Yeah, there is no boom period going to happen. When Jeff Jarrett realizes that, he'll be better off. There is no boom period in wrestling. Okay? I mean, WWE thought there was going to be this huge, you know, spike for people who wanted the network. Well, you know what? There would have been if there hadn't been so many problems in the beginning. Okay? There would have been. But the lack of content, music dubs. I read a guy's post the other day on Facebook where he's complaining about how WWE lied about editing. He said they edited all the WWE's music, they edited all the ECW, and all that stuff. He said they lied. And pretty much when you lie, you have a consumer out there. If the consumer feels that they were lied to, they're not going to be around much longer.
That's for sure. And now we're hearing for Slammiversary, what MVP is possibly hurt. So your main event is up and has some doubt as to what could happen there. I guess what they have announced for Slammiversary, which is kind of interesting, is that they're going to bring in two of Kevin Von Erich's sons to make their debut. Marshall and Ross Von Erich are coming in. I guess they've been working with Pro Wrestling Noah. I guess you got to try something, Frank, at this point, right?
Right. You can bring these guys in, but you couldn't re-sign the Bad Influence?
Or Chris Sabin? Or
Chris Sabin, or anybody else that you've released, but you have money for advertisement, you have money to bring in new talent, you have money for raising brand, but you can re-sign your TNA originals.
Raisin Bram's wife just won the NXT championship, so isn't that interesting?
Right. I say, who cares? I know I don't give a damn. I'll tell you straight up, I don't care about NXT. I really don't.
Yeah, I can't really get into it either. It's just something. When they give us all the Raws and the SmackDowns, and then they want us to watch NXT on top of that too, it's just too much to me.
Yeah,
that's what it is. It's just oversaturation, and it's just not grabbing me right now. And then the product is so stale.
Yep.
You know, stale brand, dull brand,
yep,
boring brand, whatever hashtag you want to use there. That's definitely fitting. But I want to give a salute to The late, great Ultimate Warrior, because he was voted into the Gerwick.net Hall of Fame.
Awesome.
In 2009, he only could garner 47%, but boy, what a difference a few years makes. Here in 2014, had the untimely passing of Jim Helwig, Warrior, Ultimate Warrior. But here in May of 2014, he got 85% of the vote, and I'm very honored to induct the Ultimate Warrior into the Gerwick.net Hall of Fame. Very fitting.
Absolutely. The guy deserves it. The guy pretty much was, lied about his whole career by others. And I think a lot of that was jealousy that he made an impact in such a short amount of time, while these guys put in 15 years and just never had that lasting effect. And I think a lot of it was jealousy. But I'm glad to see Warrior getting his just due in the WWE Hall of Fame, and also in the GERD.net Hall of Fame, I should say, as well.
Yeah, absolutely. And, remember, Frank, we were talking a couple months ago how people were kind of ragging on our voting, and people said, well, maybe you should take the voting away from the people, because there were a number of talents that didn't get voted in the Hall of Fame. Larry Zbysko, AJ Styles, Scott Steiner, some of the names that come to mind. And now the last couple of months we've had Scott Hall, Ultimate Warrior get in. We had Mae Young got in a special election in January. So I think for the most part, fans get it right.
Yep.
So, and of course, now for the month of June, we've talked about this one before, the Steiner brothers are on the ballot. And I know myself and Frank definitely would agree the Steiner brothers belong in any wrestling Hall of Fame.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So, love Big Papa Pump, or I hate him. Charles Steiner was a world-class athlete. I saw a lot of stuff that he did in the WCW back in the day with Ric Flair, with some of the network. So, yeah.
That one's very interesting, because when you think of the Steiner brothers and then you think of Big Papa Pump, I mean, it's like totally different. I mean, they're not even like in the same thought. That Scott Steiner, the guy that would dress in the Michigan varsity jackets,
yeah,
is a guy who later became Papa Pump.
Right.
It seems so odd. So maybe the people who didn't think Big Papa Pump belong in the Hall of Fame could vote for the Steiner brothers, because the Steiner brothers were successful wherever they went, in Japan, WWF, WCW, and I think it'd be hard for people to vote against the Steiner brothers. I mean, they were successful wherever they went, kind of like the Dudley boys. Wherever they went, they were successful as well, and the Dudley boys were voted into the Gerwick.net Hall of Fame, so I would think Steiner brothers are a very good candidate to get voted in June.
Yeah, Steiner brothers, were a world-class tag team. I mean, they were over there in Japan. They worked ECW. They worked the WWF. They were WWF tag team champions. They were WCW tag team champions multiple times. I think they held the tag belts in Japan, I believe, as well. Not sure, though.
Yep.
But I believe they did.
They did.
And so, yeah, they deserve just as much recognition as any other tag team that has longevity in the business. I mean, you talk about Hall of Famers, yes, Steiner Brothers. I think the rag that Papa Pump gets is that he got his push at a time where WCW was no longer hot, and people just don't really consider him to be a success. I think he was a success. I think Scott Steiner, he did a lot. He did what he could do with a sinking ship like WCW when he was around.
Yeah, absolutely. And I know somebody mentioned this before, and I like this idea, and maybe I could reach out to even the listeners out there. Whoever we put on the ballot for the month, if somebody would want to write like a little bio on that particular talent, you could put a little bio about Steiner Brothers for people that who maybe don't remember the Steiner Brothers or don't remember their accomplishments. I mean, they were two-time IWGP Tag Team Champions. They won the WWF Tag Team Champions twice, NWA United States Championships. I mean, they had a number of great runs. They won the Pat O'Connor Memorial Tag Team Tournament in 1990. And so if somebody would be interested in doing that, as far as writing a little bio and just, I guess, basically reminding everybody on their accomplishments, which is not a bad idea.
Yeah.
Sometimes, we throw out a name and we think, I don't like him or I like him. And then you look back at their career and you look at the matches and you look at their accomplishments. You're like, wow, it's pretty hard to argue against that particular individual or that tag team. And I know sometimes tag teams get kind of ragged on because we think of tag teams today, and all they do is they fall apart and they break up. But you go back in the annals of wrestling history, and I know, you know, growing up, Frank, tag teams were very important in the 80s, the Midnight Express, the Rock and Roll Express, the Hart Foundation, the Killer Bees, and that was really a boom period for tag team wrestling.
Right. And then in WCW as well, you had the Harlem Heat. You had the Young Pistols. You had the Freebirds.
Hollywood Blondes.
You had the Midnight Express. Road Warriors were down there for a little while. When the Road Warriors came back to WCW in 96, I believe it was. You had a lot of tag team, Nasty Boys. Pretty Wonderful, Paul Orndorff and Paul Roman. WCW had its share of tag teams as well.
The Horsemen always had great tag teams.
Yeah, Master Blasters.
NWO.
I don't like Bagwell, but I like the tag team you have with Scott Norton. Vicious and Delicious.
Yep.
So, and of course, I mean, what can you say about Hall and Nash? Luger, Lex Luger, and Sting. I thought that was a pretty good team. Sting did all the work, but you know.
So for the month of June, please consider voting yay or nay on the Steiner Brothers. We kind of gave our 2 cents on it and some of their lists of accomplishments for the Steiner Brothers. So definitely consider voting for them, either up or down, in the month of June. Frank, we actually had a question here,
okay.
And we didn't get one from Ravon, but we did get one from Mike E. He wanted to know, in our opinions, who are the hottest former TNA Knockouts and former WWE Divas. And I know Frank and I were kind of going through our memory banks here, and we could come up with a lot of former WWE Divas, but not so many former TNA Knockouts.
Yeah. I mean, to be honest with you, there are a lot of TNA's Knockouts were not hot.
Were not Knockouts.
Yeah, they were not Knockouts. I mean, they would knock you out, but that's pretty much it. I can't really think of anybody that was really, I would say, damn, I got to get that. You know what I'm saying?
The name I thought of was the one girl who was very attractive but couldn't wrestle a lick. And it's interesting because she has the same name as the group coming in to TNA for Slammiversary. That's Von Erich. Lacey Von Erich was very attractive girl, but just couldn't wrestle worth a lick.
Lacey Von Erich was probably the hottest knockout they had in the entire history of the company. If I had to put number two, I have to go with Desire from back in the day, NWA TNA days.
Kim Nielsen.
Yeah,
yep.
I agree with her. She was hot. She was with Sami Siaki back in the day.
I'll also throw in Tara as well.
Yeah, Tara, Victoria, whatever you want to call her. Yeah, she was pretty hot. Trinity. Anybody remembers her back from the NWA TNA days? She was good. You know, Tracy Brooks was okay. Brooke Chessmacher was another one. She was okay.
Athena
was good. Everybody remembers Athena back in the old Nashville days. She was pretty hot. The beautiful people are not beautiful. I'm not digging them. I think they're the ugly people. Yeah.
Well, we had Jacqueline was down there as well. So
Jacqueline was okay. Jacqueline always caught my eye.
Yeah.
Literally,
I agree.
Literally with those huge, you know, those huge
eyes.
Those huge eyes that she had always caught my eye, man. So I definitely got to put Jacqueline up there. Mickey James is okay. Mickey James mature, you know, as she got older. So I got to put her there. We go to WWF now if you want WWE.
Oh yeah, we had a lot of names. We thought of
Tori Wilson.
Stacy Keibler, those nice long legs. Trish Stratus came to mind. I thought of Eve Torres
and the one
girl that I always thought was very underrated, and she wasn't there for very long, was The woman that was with Bobby Lashley, Crystal Marshall.
Yeah, Crystal Marshall. There you go. Yeah,
very beautiful woman. Yeah, definitely. Yeah,
very, very awesome. If I had to pick one of them that caught my eye the entire time, Eve Torres. Plus when Eve Torres was out there with Johnny Ace, Eve Torres was hot.
Yes, she was. I definitely agree. Good question though from Mikey, and if you wanna ask us a question or a suggested topic, email me betweentheropes@hotmail.com. And we must plug it now, too, Frank. We're on Twitter, Gerwick Report. And I'm at Gerwick. And I'm also at Steve Gerwick on Twitter. That is my anti-NWO Twitter, where I put out articles fighting the World New World Order. Interesting, they have the Bilderberg meeting right now with all the world leaders getting together. Meeting in secret in Denmark, head of corporations, head of Google, you know, they're going there, steering committee to set the policy and decide what they're going to do about the Ukraine. But, of course, here in the United States, Frank, nobody covers it other than the alternative news sites out there. So definitely pay attention to Steve Gerwick on Twitter. I'm at Steve Gerwick also on Facebook, and we have a fan page. Gerwick.net on Facebook and as well. And go ahead and plug your Twitter page there, Frank.
Yeah, Frank D is at realfrankdee@twitter.com. You can feel free to hit me up. I've been doing a lot of back and forth lately with the Wrestling Jackal, which is fun. So if anybody out there wants to, you know, got any ideas or topics and you like what I say, you don't like what I say, I'm free to criticize. Go right ahead. I'm probably mentioning you on the show, so go ahead and give it a shot.
Yeah, absolutely. So definitely encourage us to follow us, and as always, you know, Gerwick.net 24/7 for all your pro wrestling news. Of course, on Sunday night we will have exclusive live coverage of the Payback pay-per-view special attraction. But definitely tune in at 7:30 for the pregame show with results. Definitely encourage you to come and comment on the show. Let us know what you think of the show as the show transpires. And then, of course, after the pay-per-view, come back and vote on the polls, the best matches, what you think of the show. And I think I'm definitely going to add the category of didn't see the show, because I think there's going to be a lot of people, Frank, on Sunday night when it's 8 o'clock, and they're going to say, do I really want to watch this Payback pay-per-view when essentially it's just another edition of Raw?
I agree.
So... yeah, you may want to, you know, play Xbox or watch something on Roku. I don't know. I mean, the thing with the WWE Network, if you don't want to watch a current product, there's plenty of previous older episodes of, as you said, Clash of the Champions out of there on there. A lot of the roundtable discussions are on there. World Class is on there. So if you don't want to watch the current pay-per-view, I can't really blame you. Go back and watch the old content.
Exactly. So. You can actually look at Payback from last year. I don't know why anybody would want to. But you can look at Payback from last year and actually see if that show was better than this year's show.
What was the main event last year? Do you remember?
Steve, I don't remember.
Yeah, I don't remember.
But you know, they're gonna be in Chicago tomorrow night, I believe, right?
I think that's right.
So I mean, I can hear people already saying, "Oh my God, Punk is gonna show up! Punk's gonna show up!" I don't know if Punk's gonna show up. Last time I heard, Punk said he was retired.
Well, I tell you, the last time he was in Chicago, there was a lot of buzz about him showing up. I've not heard that buzz this time around.
Yeah.
In fact, Frank, he did that interview. He says he's retired.
Right.
So, evidently, he's done.
Yeah, he's done.
At least for now. He looks happy, so who knows?
Yep. And that's and who knows if he'll show up or not. I mean, people were trying to hijack the show. We haven't seen that anymore.
No.
I mean, we have those fun days of people hijacking shows are pretty much gone until the wrestling fans get pissed off. The wrestling fans should be pissed off every week with the crap they're giving you.
Well, at least they're not doing as much of the CM Punk chants.
Right. I mean, why cheer for a guy who walked out on you?
Exactly. So
yeah.
at least they're getting that part right.
Right.
And I got to mention, too, somebody pointed out to me that on the network is, I believe, SummerSlam 99 in Minneapolis.
Yeah.
And somebody held up a big Gerwick.net sign at the show, and somebody said, "Was that you?"
Huh.
It was not me, but that was one of the more memorable moments in kind of Gerwick.net history. Somebody went to a pay-per-view and actually held up a big Gerwick.net. If anybody sees that, I think it's during the X-Pac match, want to give me a nice screenshot of that as well, I'd love to put that up at our Facebook page or on Twitter as well. So that's really cool. Glad people caught that.
Yeah, I got to go back and look at that. I claim any sign in the crowd that says Frank, it's about me. So
I think one of these times we're going to see a hashtag TNA Dead Brand or something.
Yeah, you know what? That would be kind of cool to see. Because they're a dead brand. They suck. And they know they suck. So I call them the dead brand.
Exactly. Gerwig.net. Definitely encourage people to download the app. We talked about that on the previous podcast. Especially if you're at an Android phone, you can download the apps. Listen to our podcast. I mean, it's easily just go on the app and find the audio section and just start playing it. It's pretty cool. So definitely encourage you to do that. And or if you don't have the app, you can just go to our audio section at Gerwick.net. Previous podcasts that Frank and I have done, Body Slam podcast, previous interviews, got conference calls from some previous TNA pay-per-views and Vince McMahon conference calls. So definitely check it out all at Gerwick.net. As I said, we appreciate you listening. We appreciate your support. I'd love to have the fans out there plug us on Facebook and Twitter and get the word out. And we want to be as interactive as with the fans out there as we can. We love your feedback. We love positive. We love the negative as well, too, Frank. We're open to criticism. We're not above anything, and we'll take any feedback we can get.
Exactly. Like I said, we're not perfect up here doing this. We have experience, but we're not perfect. So, I mean, people out there, you like what we say, go ahead and, shoot a comment. Let us know you like it. Give us ideas. But sometimes we just be stumped around, like, what are we going to talk about today? So, when there's no news, when there's no news and we have nothing, there's no show. So give us ideas about things that you want to listen to, you want to hear about, and, we'll try our best to do it. We do this because we love the business.
Absolutely. That's the bottom line. We love the business. People may say that we're too critical, or, one former TNA guy might call us a parasite, but, I mean, we only criticize because we want things to get better.
Right.
We want these products not to be so stale. We want the products to thrive. I'd love to see that boom period that Jeff Jarrett's talking about. I just don't see it happening.
No, it's not going to happen. And Jeff needs to realize that, but that's another podcast and every day.
Absolutely. So, again, we do appreciate you listening. Tell a friend about the podcast, and we'll see you on the next edition of the Gerwick Report podcast, where we tell it like it is.